So today we are in chapter 4. Last Sunday we talked about idols, and we talked something that I shared, and I want just to just repeat it a bit because it's kind of connected to chapter 4, is Daniel 3. We saw Nebuchadnezzar building an idol, and we were talking about idols. And when we look at that, it's so clear. And I want to tell you guys right now, the devil is the sneakiest, cleverest. He will never put an idol out there and say you worship, because he knows all of you will be against it. But he will come and bring actually things that are supposed to be good for us and make them idols in our life. Amen? And that's why I said the trick of the enemy, he's so tricky that the idols that we have right now are very seductive. And I shared one. These days we have been told about taking care of ourselves. Self, what is it called? Self-care. Can I ask, is self-care bad? But the minute we take it to the other extreme, it becomes a problem. Am I making sense? These days we find people are talking about what I want to build my empire. Can I ask, is it bad to build things for yourself? No. But the minute they take the place of God and becomes as something that obsesses in your life. And I can give you an example. You'll find there are people who actually do not sleep. They're constantly focusing on their job. Can I tell you something? That's an idol. There are some of us who actually got married and got kids. Now we are obsessed. You don't even enjoy life because you're just running after the kids. Can I tell you? That's an idol. Some of us have craved to be married so much that you are consumed with it. Like every skirt that passes, trouser that passes is possibility. Who is picking me? That becomes an idol. But am I saying to be married is wrong? Is it bad to have kids? The thing is, it's always to put it in where it is in the middle, that you don't take it to the extreme. I'm not saying we hate our kids. I'm not saying we don't work. Please, actually, if you read the Bible, God hates laziness. But at the same time, God says you need to know how to rest. And a lot of us don't know how to rest. And please don't misunderstand. There are some times when you start something, you need to do more because it's in the beginning. But when it becomes your life purpose, you will have a problem because it becomes an idol. Amen? Am I making sense? So that's what we were talking on last year. And today we are talking about a story that actually I believe with all of my heart. And this is the one thing that when I was preparing this sermon, I'll be honest with you, this sermon, it's actually for me. You know why? There's a sin that is the trickiest of all. Who can guess what that sin is? That every one of us, none of us actually evades it. It comes to all of us. Sorry? Yes, ma'am. I've never seen anybody come to me and tell me, or only Sipiwe. Sipiwe came the other day, says, Muruti, I have pride. I have never seen anybody come to me for the 20-something years of doing ministry. Nobody has ever come to me and says, you know what, Muruti, I'm struggling with pride. You know why? It's the sneakiest of all sins. And I want to say this, it's the greatest and the oldest sin that we see in scripture, that we find even Lucifer himself could not be able to put it under control. Lucifer felt he's better and he can do better. Imagine the one who created you. You think you can do better than him. And he went to the extent he actually took a quarter of the angels, like a third of the angels out of heaven. I still try to figure out, I don't know if I can get an opportunity just to talk to the demons and go like, listen, what deal were you guys given? You know, the guy who gave you life is that guy. And this is the creation like you. But the thing is, if you read scripture, you find that Lucifer was the most beautiful, most gifted. He's the one of the angels who actually held two positions. He was a worshiper and an archangel. And if you look at scriptures, you find there are only two angels who holds those two positions. And the thing that I found out is, most of the time, pride will come because of our gifting, because of something that we are very good at. And some of us, I'll give an example, I may not touch in everything. Some of us, you may look at somebody and say, I can do it better than him. That's pride. The Bible says, do not think of yourself highly than you ought to. Being a preacher, I can think of myself highly by looking at people and go like, these sinners. These guys are not even walking with God. That's pride. You can be very clever. And you go like, I'm good. I'm very, very good. That's pride. How many of us have walked? You don't even need to say it, but how we walk. And the problem with pride is it's so hidden so much that you can't see it. And I want to make something clear. I'm not saying you should not acknowledge that you're gifted. Am I making sense? God knows he has given you the gift. But the place where it reaches and you feel it is actually me who did that. The question is when you start saying I. So today that's what I want to talk about a guy who God actually corrected. And scripture is so strong. God has not minced. If you read the scriptures, you'll see how God hates pride. He hates it so bad. He says, I will humble you. How many of you guys have been humbled by him? It's not good. Eh? Trust me. I always tell him, do not. Let me humble myself. And I found out, actually, you can be prideful and very humble. You know, like those, you can be very prideful, humble, but you have pride so much. You know, like when you hear people saying, you know, I serve more than anybody else. You know, I'm the one who does everything in this place. Pride. And I found out one way of identifying pride is every time when you hear the name I. When you hear in your statement, you're going, I. Pride. We used to make fun in Bible school. When we wanted to point out somebody has pride, we used to call him Unholy Trinity. You know, there is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Trinity. And then when we meet with somebody in our class, when we are talking, and every time he's going like, you know, I feel this way. You know, people are not understanding. We go like the Unholy Trinity has started waking up. Me, myself, and I. Amen? So I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I just... It's a long one, and I want you to listen because this story, it's the most fascinating and at the same time the most scariest of all stories. And I pray that the Lord will speak to you. And please check your, allow the Holy Spirit to check you. Are you walking in pride or you're walking in humility? Amen. If you have your Bible open, Daniel 4, I didn't put it there. It's a whole chapter, and I don't have it in the screen. Amen. He finishes with that statement. He says, those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And this is a story. I don't know if like you're like me when I read the Bible sometimes. It's fascinating what God does. He makes a man for 7 years to eat grass. And this was the king who was beyond kings, like he was big. And if you read scriptures, you find God actually says he calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. This was a heathen. And he said, I'm going to use him as my tool to discipline Israel. But we see one thing happening, that he got to a place where he became prosperous and things were going very well. And he felt it's because of his goodness or his ability and his capability. And one of the things that I want to remind you is, I know you have read the word and you have seen God calls himself a jealous God. How many of you have read that? He says, my name, not he's jealous. He says, my name is a jealous God. And one of the things that I want to talk about is, who is the king over your life? I hope I put it there. And this is the question that I want to ask you. Who rules over your life? Amen? And I know all of you will lift up your hands and say, God, Jehovah. But I want us to talk about this guy, because when I was reading this, I actually found out this is actually all of us. And the biggest thing that I find from this story is we see Nebuchadnezzar was prosperous. I have never seen anybody going through fire. And he talks like Nebuchadnezzar. I found out when people actually go to God more is when things are going wrong. You will never find anybody in a prayer meeting when life is good. But trust me, when fire touches them, there will be in every prayer meeting, every Bible study, God becomes, they're obsessed because they want to be rescued. And here we see Nebuchadnezzar, very wealthy, and he walks on top of his palace and he says, wow, look at what I did. My power has brought me here. And there are a few points, principles I want to pull out of here. And one is, God will always give us an opportunity to change. And one of the things that we see here is how God is very considerate. Nebuchadnezzar from chapter 1, pride was heating up. We see chapter 2, he's given a vision about, he's given a dream about this image that is built and is shown of how the kingdoms will be. And he gets an interpretation. And then in 3, we see him deciding, I know what God said. My kingdom was only the head. But I want to change it. And he made a gold statue from the top to the bottom. And in all of these things, God was actually trying to reach out to Nebuchadnezzar and say, will you listen to me? Because every time when you see Daniel talking to him, he will say, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in this one, he says, the living God. He is God. But we see God, even in the still, in the same time Nebuchadnezzar was losing his way, God will still drop hints and tell him, hey, watch out. Watch out, you're going in the wrong direction. How many of you guys, and I know a lot of us, first, the one thing that I've changed these days is, how many of you have ever said, hey, there was an inner voice talking to me? That instinct. That is the Holy Spirit. And when you hear it, it's him giving you that thing. And I know I used to make a statement and say, I just had this feeling. It's not a feeling. It's him giving you a hint. And here we see God actually trying to warn Nebuchadnezzar, saying, you are walking in dangerous waters. Because the higher you get into your place, the better you get into a place of your gifting, you start thinking it's all about you. Are we together? And we see here Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest administrators. By the way, a lot of theologians say he was so good at administration. That's how his kingdom grew. But the thing is, who gave him those talents and those gifts? Was it not God? None of us here came with any gift. When God created us, he says, I put everything that you needed inside of you to be able to do what you do. And the more you work on it and make it better, it actually supposed to bring glory to God. And I want to submit to you this. We need to be careful of the people we hear around us. There are people who will be around us who are good and have good intention. You know, like when they pat you in the back. All of us like being patted in the back. I read this story. There's a man who God moved with him a lot in the 800. And he actually used to go to places where there was drought. And when he prays, it rains. And guys named him Elijah. And in the beginning, he refused it. He says, I'm not Elijah. I am not. But the more they kept on talking, it started getting into his head. And it says, it's called Dr. Darwin. He's the guy who started walking in miracles of healing. And that's the guy who will pass a city just by a train, and rain will come because of the gift God had given him. And it says he actually, when he started acknowledging his Elijah, God struck him. And he says he died, but in his deathbed, he had to acknowledge and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I should not have taken the glory from you. I should have acknowledged that actually my gift is actually yours. Amen? And if we look at people around us, we have seen guys who have actually died because of pride. People have died because of pride. And when we look at this, is we see a lesson that God actually keeps warning us. There are people who will put around us who will give us hint and tell us, hey, you are actually missing it. You're actually going to the wrong side. And you'll know pride is where you don't want to hear other people's opinion. You know, have you met those people who know it all? Have you ever met them? They know it all. And it's not that they don't know, they know it. But the problem is when you put it as your thing, it becomes a problem. And this is the thing that we see is Daniel said to the king, therefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted to you. Break off your sin by practicing righteousness and your iniquity by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. And we see God here actually coming alongside, warning us. And I feel strongly, to be honest, right now, it's the time God has been giving us hints. Something is about to come. Something is about to come. Are we living in a place where we know that he is on his way coming? Amen? So we look here, we see him warning Nebuchadnezzar that he's coming. Two, we see God after warning him. Sorry, let me just go back. Listen to this, Romans 1:20. I know we have a lot of people who say about this thing and they give excuse that no. It says this, Romans 21:20 says, for even since the creation of the world, his invisible attribute, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship. All his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who have failed to believe and trust in him are without excuse, without defense. And we see here God actually telling us, and I've had people saying, how will the people not know about God? Bible is very clear. We all like seeing all these pictures. I like watching geographical channels. How many of you have watched those things? I see Vic Falls. Oh, you can't tell me you look at that and you think a big bang brought it into being. Are you together? Not even that, just looking at you guys. I always tell you I'm dark chocolate. I look at myself in the mirror, I know there has to be a God somewhere. And all of these things is God actually putting a sign to let us know that he is actually there. And we see Nebuchadnezzar was being warned continuously in his dreams about him being careful of how he's living, how he's walking. And I want to ask you a question. Has God been giving you some sign? And I want to tell you one of it. Preaching is also another sign that he's actually speaking to you. And if you don't take it into heed, so trust me, as I tell you these things, and that's why I say this is the hardest sermon that I've preached, because I know God has been showing me when I was preparing, there's pride here. There's pride here. My question for us, has he been warning you? Two, he says God will discipline anyone who takes his glory. And we have seen, he made him eat grass. You know, this is the most scary thing. He made a full grown man to eat grass for 7 years. And God will discipline you. I've told some guys, the guys we meet with, I said, I have seen God is the most patient person. I've ever seen the most patient teacher. If you don't learn the lesson, he was going to make you stay in that field, that class for a while. And we see here, he makes Nebuchadnezzar to go for 7 years to eat grass. And it's so challenging, because one of the things that I was looking at it is, this is a guy who had everything. And my question for us is, even as we walk, even as we do everything we do, that we remember that he has said he will lead us. And if we cross the line, he's going to come and discipline us. And I know this is not a story we always talk about. I know we talk about this glorious God. He's always smiling. But when you look at scripture, when it says, fear the Lord, it's not what we have come to give you guys as interpretation. It's not reverence. No, trust me. Exodus, when God came down, it says people trembled with fear because of who he is. And that's why when we were worshiping, I was looking and I was going like, do these people understand who they have come to worship? Do you guys understand? It's not a joke, guys. Coming here in his presence. I shared with you when I got saved, or before I got saved, the Lord visited me in my room. And I can remember it. I've never been scared like that. And the presence of God just opened in my room. And one of the ways I can explain to you, how many of you guys have watched Tom and Jerry? The guys who grew up with those things. Okay. Not all of you guys are big people. You know how when he sees the ghost, his body just separates. You see his body standing. His spirit has gone. You just go, hee-hee. It's funny, I know. But when God came to my room, I was so scared. And this is what he said to me. He says, son, warn them. When I came the first time, I came as a lamb. Everybody could slap me. Everybody could spit on me. And he said, but the second time I'm coming as the King of Kings. And I looked at his eyes, I could not believe. And he says, son, nobody will be able to stand. Everybody will bow down to me. And he told me, look at the word. He says, the sun gave out life. It could not shine because I was coming. And my question is, do we actually understand who is coming? And are we preparing ourselves to meet him? What we do here, this is so religious. If we understand actually what it means to be a child of God, and we see it here, he makes a man eat grass. This is God. Number two, and I'm finishing with this. We see his correction is not to destroy, but to reconcile himself with him. And we see Nebuchadnezzar, after 7 years, he says, I looked up and said, he is the King of Kings. And this is what he reads. And I like the way he finishes with this. It says, and at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this, I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does account to his will among the host of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his way, his hand, or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reasoning returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom and majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and the Lord sorted me, and I was established in my kingdom. And still more greatness was added to me. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he will humble. And this is the one thing that I love about God. We still see his love, even when he disciplines us. And we see Nebuchadnezzar being restored back, and everybody else came back to him because he acknowledged and he learned his lesson. My question for us, even as we go, is who is ruling your life? How are you walking with God? And how will you know you have pride? Pride is where you feel you can do it by yourself. Pride is where you feel like you don't need God. And this can come in many ways. I've had people saying, I want to hustle. Am I saying it's bad? It's not bad to hustle. But if you come up with plans without actually walking with him, that's where pride starts coming in. And that's why I'm saying pride, it's so in somewhere where you find if you're not careful, you can walk in it without knowing. I have to come up with a plan. I have to. My prayer for us, even as we come to this end, is that you will know God hates pride. But still at the same time, he never just disciplines us. He actually warns us. And the problem is the warning when it comes, it's not something that is grand. It will be something just somebody will make a statement. Somebody will say something. And if you don't take heed of it, you will still get an account for that. That makes sense. So don't wait until, you know how people say, oh, God, speak to me. And then you hear somebody talking. I'll give you an example. Before I met my wife, and then I finish with it, I was walking from my mom's house, going to my best friend's birthday. And I met this drunkard. Drunk, he could not walk. And he stopped me and he said, son, if you don't change your way and you stop being prideful, you will never get married. That was mine. And can I be honest, I had a list, a very long one, of how my wife should be. And me, I didn't see him as a drunkard, but I had God. And I remember I went back home and I said, God, I put my list down. What do you feel I need for my life? And guess what? Not long, married the most beautiful woman. And the thing is it's not that I was trying to be mean. It was pride. Because what I was saying is, I am of a certain quality that the person that I need to meet with has to be of a certain level. But that's not how God works. And when I put it down and surrender to God and say, God, not my will, but yours. And imagine the guy who came to speak to me was not somebody in a suit, was not somebody who was speaking in tongues. He was a drunkard, almost falling. He was falling. Actually, he could not stand. And I remember the words. He was walking and I was about to pass. He just turned and he says, oh, sir, if you're not careful, you'll never get married. And it's like he switched. He was going, And when he saw me, it's like he came back to this, something took over him, and I know it's the Holy, and he said, if you don't change, you will never get married. You're so prideful. And then the minute he said that, he went back to his. But for me, then I picked up and I knew this was God. My question is he speaking to you? And don't wait for it to look the way you want. You need to be sensitive enough to pick it. Because even Nebuchadnezzar here, he had a dream. Imagine God coming to him and showing him. And not only that, he brings a guy who can interpret the dream. And yet it says, and if you read the place where he interpreted, it says in 12 months, it means an year passed. But he didn't hearken unto God. And God came for him. People, let us be careful. You may not be made to eat grass, but something will come. And God is giving you a warning. And he's saying, listen to me. Some of us, we have heard people say something, and it may be even somebody you don't even like, saying, "Esh, these days you feel yourself." Listen. Amen? Amen?